Thanks for joining us today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Luann Crane, along with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And we're going to continue with a message today that really drives home the importance of remaining sexually pure until marriage.
And Dr. Dobson, the advice we'll hear today comes from a gentleman who clearly understands teenagers and the pressures that they face.
Well, we began hearing this message last time, and it was deeply moving to me again. I mean, I know what Joe White stands for, and I wish every teenager in the country could hear.
In the world.
What he teaches. Joe is the president and founder of Kanakuk Camps in Branson, Missouri, and he has reached tens of thousands of teens over the years. One of them was you, Ryan.
That's right.
Made a great impact to your life. And he just does a great job of relating not only to teens, but to children. Joe has a unique way of getting his point across, especially when it comes to sexual abstinence. And obviously, he feels very strongly about it, as do we. Now, he set up five chairs on a stage when he was speaking to 1,000 teenagers. And each one of those chairs represented someone who wants that teen to save himself or herself until marriage. Mm. And he talked about the first two chairs last time. The first is a teen's future spouse. They care about purity.
That's right.
And then he also talked about future children. And so now it's time to hear what the next three chairs represent.
And, Doctor, very quickly, it may be evident to parents, but we do want to offer a reminder that if you have younger children listening right now, we will be dealing with the topic of sexual abstinence, and there will be some graphic moments, so you may want to remove them for the next few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to roll back just a little bit with a story about Joe's daughter, who actually is a friend of mine, Jamie Joe, and how she met her future husband, Andy Brainer, who, as a matter of fact, was a guest on our program just last month. So here now is Joe White on this Family Talk broadcast.
Fellas, my little girl, Jamie, and girls, maybe this will be an encouragement to you, but Jamie didn't date much in high school. In fact, hardly at all. Maybe because I scared the guys to death in high school. I don't know. And so she kind of withdrew in high school. And she always kind of wore baggy jeans and tennis shoes and a sweatshirt. And she didn't really get into the big dating scene and the beauty scene and the party scene and all that stuff, because she knew there was only one guy that someday she was going to meet. And so she went to college first year. And, you know, a lot of people were dating all the time and going out. And little Jamie really didn't that much, because she really didn't get into that, because she didn't want to date. She wanted to marry somebody for a lifetime. And she believed in her heart that her daddy was praying for this guy, which I did every night for almost 22 years. And she believed that guy was going to be the perfect match for her, and she was going to save herself, all of herself, not just her sex, but her whole body for this guy. 2 years of friendship with a guy named Andy Brainer, where she went to college, and he was the neatest guy on that campus. He was dating other girls, and he wasn't dating her, but she was his best friend. 2 years after they became friends, and this guy is awesome. I'll just tell you right now, he's the most awesome young man I've met in a long time. He looked in her eyes one night, and he said, "Jamie, I just need to tell you, we've been friends, but you've stolen my heart, and I'll never get it back again." 2 years ago, I walked my little girl down the aisle, and Andy was standing at the front of the church, and put her hand in his hand, and I said, "Andy, she's yours, pal." And about 18 months after they were married, she brought me home a little grandbaby. Andy's here tonight. Andy, would you come up here for just a second, please, if you don't mind? And I know you're all going to ooh and ah. Where's Andy? Sorry, buddy. I embarrass this kid a lot, but man, I love him so much. Andy, if I could just put you on the spot for a second. You guys, I hope this is okay. But girls, this is Mr. Wright for my little girl. And My little girl waited, and I just want to tell you, there's a Mr. Right for you. And Andy, I don't know what's on your heart, but just take a second, will you? And just, if you could just say something about what that purity meant to you.
I just want to tell you guys just for a second that, you know, everything Joe said about Jamie was absolutely 100% right on the money. You know, when I went to college as a freshman, I was into the looks thing, and I was into the girl thing, and I was looking for the perfect girl, and I dated a lot of people. And Jamie was, you know, I tell some guys this story. Jamie, she was my best friend from the first day I got to college. I met Jamie, and she was just kind of latched on, and we developed this relationship. And I used to go out with these girls, and I didn't have a car at college, and I don't even know if you know this. I didn't have a car at college, and Jamie did have a car, and she's my best friend. And I said, I got to go on a date. Can I borrow your car? Don't do that, guys. So she goes, yeah, you can borrow my car. And I'm thinking, wow, this girl is awesome. So she gave me the keys to her car, and she said, I want them back by midnight. Not only did she want them back by midnight, but she wanted me to call her dorm room, have her come down out of her dorm so I could put the keys in her hand so she knew that I was home by midnight with that girl. She had a plan altogether. She knew that this whole thing was going to work out. And as we developed our relationship, guys, it was something like none other that I'd found. I never, ever loved anybody from my heart, and I saw in Jamie trustworthiness and honesty and holiness and most of all, purity. And she stood there white as snow, and here I am. I'm just an idiot from Little Rock, Arkansas. And she said, you know, when I said, I love you, she said, I love you too, and I always have. And I've been waiting 21 years for this. And so we went on we were engaged, or we dated for 2 years, engaged for a little bit. And guys don't think about this very much, and I didn't either, but the most unbelievable thing happened on May 18th, 1997, when I was standing at the altar and the door opened, like Joe said, and everybody stood up and the big music, you know, dun, 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 dun. And I'm going, the most unbelievable thing happened. She walked down the aisle and she said, she made a commitment to me. She said, I save myself 100% for you. And it was the most unbelievable feeling in my heart to know that from now on, we loved each other beyond just what we look like to each other. We literally would die for each other. And that's what true love is. So that's who I married. So
I need to tell you that he and I have never done that before. This is the first time we've ever done that. We're out hunting out here together, and I just asked him tonight if he would do that. But I want to tell you guys that I believe men are spiritual leaders in a relationship, and fellas, I believe that it's our responsibility to help a girl stay that way. And fellas, I need to tell you something. This is just a guy talking to a guy. But men, I believe men are more tender in the area of their conscience than even a girl is. And here's what happens, fellas. I counsel a lot of grown men as well as teenagers. And a lot of men who've had a lot of Miss January and Miss February and, you know, pornography in their lives, or they've had a lot of relationships with girls that don't have their clothes on. Fellas, you get images in your mind. And I'm just speaking very frankly with you. When you're on your honeymoon, men, please hear me. When you're on your honeymoon and your bride walks in to be with you, guys, the last thing you want on your mind is somebody else. And there's a lot of men out there right now that are struggling really bad in their marriages because they have all these other images of girls they've had sex with or they've had sex with their eyes with. And fellas, I think it's even more important for a guy to stay pure, even his mind. And girls, you can hear how important it is for a girl, but for a guy, one, we're the leader, and two, because in our marriage, we want her and only her to be the body that we touch and that we see. You guys, if you think those two people are important, you know who's sitting in this stool right here, and this is going to be the biggest encouragement to most of you you've ever heard in your life. You know who's sitting in this stool? This stool is reserved for our Savior. And I'm going to tell you, I'm proud to be a Christian. Christ came into my heart when I was 17 years old. And I love this man because this man allows me to stand up here tonight. This man allows me to be married to somebody as incredible as Debbie Jo. This man allowed me to play football. This man allows me to be a daddy. This guy died for me. Girls, this summer, a 16-year-old girl came up to me. I've been talking about sexual purity like this. There were 500 or 600 teenagers there, and we were having the best time. And after it was over, a whole bunch of kids wanted to just come up and give me a big daddy's hug, and they just wanted to talk. Some of them were crying. And this one girl came up to me. She was sleeping with her boyfriend. She told me, she said, Joe, I want that so bad. I want to be pure more than you can imagine. But I'm sleeping with this guy. And she goes, I just can't stop. And I said, Princess, you've got to choose. And you guys don't play the game. You can't have both. You can either have purity or impurity. You can have a great marriage or you can have a shallow marriage that probably ends up in divorce. She said, I want that, but I can't give up that. And it was like a little three-year-old that wouldn't give away her little stuffed toy. And we cried and we talked and we prayed and then she was gone. And she made no commitment at all. I mean, it was the same girl going to go back to the same guy and sleep with him and probably be a wreck at the altar someday. I started looking for her the next 2 or 3 days. I just wanted to find her and tell her it was going to be okay or something. Couldn't find her at camp. There's 400 teenagers at our camp. I couldn't find her. The last night of camp, all these teenagers were coming down to kneel at the cross. About 150 kids decided they wanted to come to the cross that night. It was an incredible night under the moon, the stars, beautiful place, with this cross out there by the slab where we were. And I was over there talking to people and praying, having the best time, because coming to the cross is unbelievably great. And then they left, and then I turned to walk back down the camp, and there she was. I said, Amy. She said, hey, Joe. I said, I've been looking for you. And man, I mean, I had this big lump in my throat, and she said, I've been looking for you too. And she started to cry, and she said 2 words that I'll never forget as long as I live. She looked up in my eyes, and she said, I'm pure. I said, tell me about it. She said, I gave my heart to Christ. And I wrote my boyfriend, told him it was over. She said, my body's reserved for my husband. And you guys, I saw, it wasn't like it came out of the cloud, but I saw this little veil of righteousness fall on this girl's shoulders. And I've never seen a more righteous girl in my life. Because when Christ makes you pure, you guys, he doesn't give you second virginity. He gives you purity. Hear me. He gives you purity. It's beyond virginity. When Christ makes you pure, some of you guys have been into pornography, hear me. When Christ makes you pure, some of you girls have been touched. When Christ, listen, makes you pure, there's nothing more beautiful in the world. Nothing. And that girl's pure to this day. Tonight. This man and this man alone can make you pure. And this can be happening to you no matter where you've been or what you've done. I know that's true because he promised it. That's why you guys, he says in the book of Hebrews, he said, let the marriage bed be pure. Because he knows how great the marriage bed for 75 years is supposed to be. Let the marriage bed be pure. It's a command, you guys. And it's a command of love. He says, guys, flee lust. If you're into lust, flee. If it's a movie or a magazine or a bad date, he goes, run for your life. Don't stand there in the back seat and try to rationalize. He goes, go home, because he wants your marriage. Y'all get the picture now? Isn't it awesome? And then the fourth chair, quickly as we wrap this thing up. Y'all, the fourth chair, this will blow your mind, guys. The fourth chair is the guy who's going to marry the girl you're dating now. You date some girl your junior year in high school. That guy is going to marry her. You don't know him. But I tell you, man, he's pleading with you. Don't make my future wife a used product. Girls, the guy you're dating, that bride of him is saying, please, man, wear clothes that don't tempt him. Man, please don't pull him away from me by the way you touch him and the way you kiss him and the way you, you know, use your hands and things. Please. You guys, true story, John and Mark, two roommates, best friends in college. John is dating a girl named Mary. John heard this talk, or one just like it, and John decided he wasn't going to ever touch another girl till he was married. I mean, holding hands and stuff like that, but I mean touch sexually. And he would come in from his dates, and Mark would go, hey, John, what'd you get tonight? That's exactly what he said. Girls, I hate to say this, but a lot of guys, we talk about girls like that, and guys, it's probably the worst thing you could possibly do. the thing that probably disturbs me the most about what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now is not the lie and not all that stuff. It's that they're saying that marriage doesn't matter. I'm telling you something, man. Marriage matters more than anything that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Marriage matters. And so Mark, you know, gives John this jive that you're hearing on CNN every night. And you know what Mark said? I mean, John says, he said, you know what? Someday that girl's going to marry somebody really special. And I want her to give him everything. And he goes, oh, sure. Well, they break up, as most couples do, before you find the one. And guess who falls in love with Mary? Mark. And they do get married. And guess who's the best man? John. Imagine how Mark felt. There was pure Mary. John had made her pure, had kept her pure. At the end of the wedding, he put his arm around John after they'd walked out of the church. And he says, hey, John, you remember those questions I used to ask you after your dates with sweet Mary? He said, yeah. He said, I'm so sorry I talked like that. He said, buddy, thank you so much for helping her in the area of her purity. You don't know what that means to me right now. The last person here is probably somebody you never thought about before. This is the number one sex organ in your body. And it's a sex organ called your conscience. And I tell you, it's the number one sex organ because 95% of sex, hear me, in marriage comes out of your heart, your conscience, and your spiritual life. I still hold Debbie Jo's hand at night, just like that. We wrap our fingers inside of each other's. And man, you talk about butterflies. Just that. Because our conscience and our heart are twined. And you know why condoms are a bad idea? Because condoms don't protect your conscience. They may protect you physically part of the time or most of the time. They may protect you from pregnancy most of the time. They don't all. Everybody knows that. But they never, ever protect the girl's conscience, guys, ever. And girls, they'll never protect your relationship with Christ. They'll never protect your friendship. They'll never protect the bond that you have with Christ. I was giving this talk, and a guy named Scott, this football player from Norman, Oklahoma, man, I like this kid. Great big old strapping interior lineman. He comes up, he's got big tears coming down his face. I've been painting pictures behind me of that kind of represented love as like a Hallmark card. He said, hey, Joe White, he said, I want those pictures. And I said, why? He said, I want those pictures for my room. And I mean, this guy was serious. And I said, I started pulling the pictures down. I said, Scott, okay. He said, will you sign them? And I was like, man, I'm not very much of an artist. I'm kind of embarrassed. He said, please. So I signed it. I said, Scott, why do you want the pictures? He said, well, he said, I turned 16 this year, and my daddy gave me a condom. And he said, Scott, put it in your wallet. Now that you're dating, you may need it sometime. And then he started to cry. And he said, I didn't know what was wrong with that. I knew something was wrong with that. But he said, tonight you show me it was wrong. He goes, I want to love like you're talking about for a lifetime. I don't want a one-night love with a condom. He's 23 now. He's not married yet. He's still pure. The picture's still in his room because your conscience and your spiritual life are saying, please keep me pure. Well, I told you I was going to bring you up here tonight, and I was serious about it. And I'm going to ask you, all of you right now, to take your heart, the place where your life makes up its mind, and it's the most important move your heart will ever make, second only to becoming a Christian. And I'm going to ask you to put your heart up here. And even if you don't agree with me, I will still ask you to put your heart up here. And I'd like for you to just put the committee of these five incredible people around you. And I'd like for your heart to decide. What you're going to do with this body that God has given you. And probably most of us are going to need to turn to the guy behind us. And say, Jesus, tonight I want to say those two words. I'm pure. Jesus, will you forgive me for my sins? And I promise you, you guys, that's why he came. Will you make me pure? I want to be a pure virgin. Will you erase my sins? I give my heart to you. And then sit back in the chair. and look at her and say, I'm waiting. And look at him and say, I am going to be your hero, pal. And look at him and say, thanks for telling me to stay pure now. And look at that person and say, I'll keep her safe. I'll keep her pure because she's not mine. And say to your conscience, I'm going to keep you pure in my marriage. If that's what you want, I put a promise ring on my two daughters when they were 16, a little gold ring with a cross in the middle. And I said, baby, this is Jesus' finger until Andy comes along, until your husband comes along. If you want to put a promise ring on your finger tonight, guys and girls, that says, I'm waiting, I'm going to be pure, then I want you to stand on your own two feet. Consider it and then stand if that's what you want to do. If you're one who wants to be pure, if you want to reserve your body, no matter where you've been or what you've done in the past, I mean, Christ is standing right behind you to say, I will make you pure. All you have to do is give your heart to me, and I will cleanse you and make you pure. And you want to hold that purity, stand up. And humbly, with me, bow your head. You guys, as you pray, just visualize this little committee that's pulling for you, okay? Isn't that cool? They're pulling for you right now. Isn't that great? They're pulling for you. They're cheering for you. You know, Jesus is saying, man, I died for you. I died for your purity. I died for your honeymoon. I died for your 50th anniversary. Your wife saying thank you. Your husband saying, man, way to go. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. I dedicate my purity to you. I dedicate my purity to my bride or my groom. I dedicate my purity to my little boy or my little girl. I'll be their hero. I dedicate my purity because the person I'm dating is probably going to marry somebody else someday. And I dedicate my purity, my conscience, my soul. Okay, everybody said that? Go ahead, say it. Is that a great feeling? If you feel good about that, clap your hands. Awesome to be with you tonight. God bless you. Have a happy honeymoon. Good night.
You've been listening to Joe White on this Family Talk broadcast, speaking about the topic of sexual purity. And Dan Luan, I don't think he has the ability to speak without passion.
Yeah.
I mean, it just comes across in everything he does. Mm-hmm. He was addressing about 1,000 teenagers in Southwest Kansas. And Dad, you could have heard a pin drop in that audience.
Isn't it interesting that through a recording you can tell that
That's
people
right.
were hanging on every word because they clearly were. And I said at the top of the program, I want to say it again, that this is a message that I wish every teenager in the world could hear because it is so relevant and mm-hmm. so important. In fact, that's why we put this recording on the air, so we can at least reach some of them. You know, the messages that Joe White brings to young people are Bible-based, and they're always infused with wisdom and direction for this generation. And I'm glad this man is my friend. Mm.
And, Doctor, speaking as a mom, I'm glad he's out there putting this message out mm-hmm. for young people. As you cited earlier, so many teenagers are contracting these diseases that will be with them for the rest of their lives.
Well, in these past 2 days, Joe referred to the five chairs in speaking about sexual relationships, and it really is a good illustration for young people on why they should wait for sexual activity until they're married. And his book, Pure Excitement, addresses this topic even further. It's got great illustrations and stories, and you can find out more about that at drjamesdobson.org.
As well as a complimentary CD of mm-hmm. this very powerful message that we shared both yesterday and today. You can do do that online, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call, 877-732-6825.
You know, here at Family Talk, it's our goal to help families, to help parents raise their teens in a godly way, but we can't do it without your help. So when you call, ask about a project we're working on now called 1,000 Days of Impact. We're trying to bring messages like this to 10 million families over the next 3 years. It's exciting, and we really do need your help doing that.
It is a big goal, but one that we can accomplish together, Ryan. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or by calling, one last time, the number 877-732-6825.
Thanks for being with us today, and join us next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.